Blog Talk Radio.
They pass away the truth. All right, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Sister Marianne Williams, who is normally co-hosting and gives you the greeting for the episode, is not feeling too well today, so we ask God's healing power on her, as well as for those others who are hosts of the PRF Table that host when I'm not here or whenever they have the time to step back and have a seat at the table, who are traveling. Everybody's been traveling this week. I was supposed to have been traveling this week, even out of town, but some things just have come up in people's lives that caused us to have to shift. So I thank everybody who's watching on Facebook Live. I thank everybody who is listening via Blog Talk Radio. If you are watching on Facebook Live and you want to actually ask a question on the air, all you have to do is dial 347-215-7934. 347-215-7934. So here we are today. This is probably not going to be a very long episode tonight, but here we are today ending a whole month-long series that we've been engaged in is Financial Checkup for Leaders. Prayerfully, if you've listened to the other episodes that we've had every Thursday at 8 p.m., you understand that from our guest, Pastor Stephen Garrett, from our other guest, Major Darrell Carson, that you understand that this thing is not about beating up on leaders. This is about empowering and equipping leaders. All of us who stand behind God's pulpit or have ministries outside of congregational ministry, we have to be positioned in a way to be able to help the people. We talked earlier on one of the previous episodes, we talked from the book of Chronicles, when David gave all that he gave for the building of the temple. And then by his actions, we gave that as an example, his actions led to the other leaders giving of what they had. And all of what the leaders had collectively gave more than what David had. And we talked about the many tons of gold and silver, but they gave gold and silver and bronze. They gave a whole bunch of other stuff. So collectively, the people followed behind the leader. Listen, I'm here to tell you that we can't act like that leaders. We as leaders have it all together. And some of what we've been talking about is some that when we have the actual Leadership Summit in 2019, October 2019, these are some of the things that's going to come up. Because if we're not able to go down a checklist, and I'm not saying to be legalistic about things, what I'm saying is we have to be willing to have some things that we're able to look at. Listen, how many people go to college without there being an audit of your grade before you graduate? No college gives grants anybody any type of degrees without doing an audit to see what you've actually done. Here's all I'm proposing. Let's do an audit of where we are as leaders. It may look good to the people. It doesn't matter what it looks like to the people when they think we're doing better than what we are. That's not what matters. What matters is that we actually take the time to try to get the help that we need. So I am definitely not going to rehash everything, but I do want to hit on something that I mentioned last week and how God, we just didn't get to it. The thing I want to really touch on tonight as we close this out is, you know, it's important for us as leaders, as religious leaders particularly, to make sure that we have things in such a way that we're not burdening the people. That is so near and dear to my heart because I've just been a party to, and I've seen it up close, I've seen it from a distance, how there's been so many individuals who are religious leaders have bled and have continued to bleed the people dry. Now, I'm not going to address the greed behind that. I'm not going to address the covetousness behind that. I'm going to address those who burden and take advantage of the people. And again, no conviction, I mean, no condemnation, but if it convicts, it convicts. I'm only addressing it from that particular standpoint, that it oftentimes becomes a thing of this. I'm not doing well. This is not me, Dunlap, but I'm not doing well. Brothers, Reverend such and such is not doing well financially. And yet Reverend such and such is putting so much into the church. Every time you call Katarina, Pastor such and such is on his way to come see you. You call about this, Pastor such and such is coming on his way to see you. Sister such and such got something going on. Pastor such and such is going to see you. Listen, I understand it. Trust me, as a leader in ministry, I understand it wholeheartedly that it takes a lot out of us when we're actually doing the work of the kingdom. I'm not talking about doing the work of the church and denomination, all those things. I'm not talking about that. When we're doing the work of the kingdom, it takes a lot out of us. And it also, and I must acknowledge the fact, that it takes resources, Pastor Ware, to make these things happen. If you decided that you wanted to put, if you decided that, or the Lord decided, let's say the Lord spoke into your heart and said, I want you to call Reverend Dunlap and ask Reverend Dunlap if him and his team or him by himself or whoever can come and teach us about credit, because I asked a couple of people and I've had a couple of sessions with counseling sessions with members in the congregation about finances, and we understand that there's some credit things going on. I'm not saying that this is your church, Pastor Ware. I'm not placing that, speaking that over you. That was the case. Well, I think we're about eight hours away from you. So we have a couple of options. Yes, for us, as a ministry, listen, we're going to go. But it's also going to be, I mean, we can't drive 8 hours on an empty tank of gas. You're not close enough to a major airport where I can just get a ride to an Uber to an airport and then have somebody pick me up. And no, it takes resources to make some ministry happen, not all of it, some ministry. It takes resources to make it happen. Now, here's the deal. If it's not there, what a lot of leaders do, a lot of religious leaders, and again, I do it too. I do it with PRF. I don't say what I'm about to say to be boastful. I'm going to say what I'm about to say, just taking in the spirit. I am, our household is the largest contributor to PRF on a consistent and regular basis. I'm not saying that to put myself up above anybody, because collectively, everybody else gives more than what we give. Collectively. Because they know and they understand that I give. So what happens is a lot of times, we as religious leaders, you know what? We're going to have a men's day program. We're going to have a women's day program. We're going to have Usher's anniversary. I don't know if that's the way you say it. It's our Usher. We're going to have an Usher's anniversary. We're going to have a pastor, and we're going to have all these things. But yet, money's not in the budget. It's not in the budget for it. It's on the calendar. It's a line item on the budget. But when it's not on the budget, oftentimes that falls back. I'm talking to some people who don't understand what goes on behind the scenes with us as religious leaders. So the natural tendency is, well, you know what? It's not. Well, we just ain't going to do it. Y'all ain't giving. We ain't going to do it. That's not the normal tendency that happens in the church. You know what happens? Here's what happens. Pastor Dunlap comes out of his pocket and makes sure that the food that is needed, here go this $100. And again, if I say $100, you know we're talking about a small location, right? Here go $100. Go ahead and get the meat. That continues to happen across this country over and over and over again. So listen, I'm not saying don't do that. What I am saying is we have to be in a position as leaders to be able to do that. Now, here's the thing. If we're not in a true position to do that and we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, we're robbing Peter, our household, to pay Paul, the church, if that's what we're doing, then eventually our household suffers. And if our household suffers, the natural tendency, a lot of times, I'm listening. You can talk to me, you can have a conversation with me about it, we can go dialogue with it. But the normal tendency of what continues to happen is now, since I put into the church, guess who's going to give it back out of the church? The people. The people are going, listen, I put that 100, I may not need it right now, but you know what? If things get tight because I've robbed Peter to pay Paul, I've robbed my household to pay the church, and not for kingdom work to church. And what happens after that? Listen, we talked about secondary income a couple of weeks ago, and it's real. So I'm not tripping on that. If I'm operating off of secondary income to be able to help and do extra things, that's cool. But when secondary income becomes a thing of my way of life, it becomes that thing that I have to depend on, then we have to say, leaders, this is what we need to do. We need to scale back. I remember telling a good pastor one day, I said, you have all these events scheduled, brother. All these events scheduled throughout the year. That's what's on the calendar for the church. I know it was like that when you first came to the church. And that's what y'all do because it's a religious thing. I get it. People would be pissed off if you start cutting stuff off just coming in there as a new capacity. If you ain't say that when you first was getting interviewed, right? If you ain't put that out, yeah, I know the danger in that. It's dangerous. But then there becomes this tendency of having to bring financial implications into the situation that are really not there. And so would it be a thing of wisdom to say, listen, and here was my wise counsel to this brother. I said, listen. You know how the people feel about this. They are so adamant. We got to do these days. Past anniversaries, Women's Day, Men's Day, Children's Day, Youth Day, Junior Usher's Day, Junior Deacon's Day. You got all these events. And y'all feeding every time. I said, listen, people have to support this because you can't keep doing it. Because whenever it becomes challenging for you in your household, and then you can't afford to put it in, my brother. Then the folks looking at you like, what are you doing, Pastor? Why don't we have this? I said, so here's my advice. Here's my wise counsel. I said, rather than just cutting it out, I said, how about this? I said, how about for the next year, every time you have one of these events, you make sure you keep track of how the expenses for these events are actually going. I said, so do it like this. I said, you got Men's Day coming up next month. All right? Take note of what you brought in from Men's Day. Not when you stand up in the pulpit and y'all are encouraging others to give so much out of the abundance of their heart. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about to have the things in place, all the streamers, all the musicians, these three and four pastors that you're calling in. All this, you need to have all of those expenses. Got to have all those expenses down somewhere. So you know, doggone, it took $1,100 to do Men's Day. Because what happens is this. When there's nobody taking, we talked about accountability last week. When there's nobody helping us to be accountable, right? Nobody's in our corner saying, listen, we need to do some things different, brother. Then the program goes on, and nobody knows what it really cost.
I'm going to go somewhere in a minute.
That was God right there. You don't know what it costs. And I said, and then you need to be able to say, how much money came in to support this event prior to the day of the event? I said, all those cakes and all this stuff and all this going to the grocery store on the day of to get stuff because such and such just decided. I said, you need to keep track of those things. Because if the people are not dedicated to the event and you keep funneling this stuff out of your pocket, that causes resentment in your household, especially if you are married, a husband or a wife. Married to a pastor. Because they see how much is coming out. Listen, the truth of the matter is, many pastor wives or many pastor husbands don't love the church like the people of the church do. I'm not talking about the ones who start your own stuff. Scratch that. Let's talk about the ones where you've applied to be the pastor of a church. Your spouses do not go into this thing loving those folk like the rest of the folk love the folk in the church. Not how it works. So you can't go into this thing is you can save the world, that you can support all these things by yourself. And I don't want people to think that I am pushing against not having these events, Reverend Wimbush. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, as we said according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, he who cannot run or manage his own household well, how in the world, how can he manage the affairs of the church? So I'm going to continue to keep pressing us, especially as leaders, religious leaders in particular. I'm going to keep pressing us. I'm going to press us to go back to a place where we say, listen, let me evaluate how we're doing these things right now. Whether you're funneling so much money into doing these different events at the church, or whether you're taking into context all of the secondary income that you get from preaching here and preaching there, but you're living off your secondary income, you're living off of, quote, unquote, your overtime. No. That's not God's plan. Because what continues to happen is brothers and sisters who are leading Chapter Richardson continue to get burnt out. And I'm telling you, that is not God's plan. That is not his will, that because we are serving, that we get burnt out. It's even when we're getting burnt out or people are getting burnt out because they're trying to fulfill something that they shouldn't be fulfilling in the first place. When you go to Exodus chapter 25, when God told Moses, he said, listen, accept gifts from all those whose hearts, talking about for the tabernacle, accept the gifts from all those whose hearts were prompted to give. If the people's hearts have not been prompted to give, then you may need to bring somebody in to teach them about giving. You may need to bring somebody in to help them with their credit and their debt. If the people are paying 24% interest, 13% interest on stuff, how in the world do you expect them to pay down the debt faster than the doggone bills? Go. And what was asked, he said, from all the people whose hearts were, there was leaders also. So this thing becomes a heart thing, my brothers and my sisters. It becomes a heart thing. And we got to make sure our heart is right. No condemnation on anybody, I promise you. No condemnation. But if it convicts, listen, it convicts. It's necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary that we take a step back on some things. Yeah, when I hear about my brothers and my sisters having heart attacks, but then from a distance, I see how hard they're running. But then I also know from behind the scenes, through counsel, how some of them also are trying to maintain certain lifestyles financially. God will allow us to go, but so far, though, before he lets something happen. It doesn't have to be a Job moment. But even a mini Job moment will wreck the heck out of our world. Think about it. Even a quarter of a Job moment will do some damaging things to us as leaders. And the truth of the matter is, what goes on with us, oftentimes, it affects the people. So I'm going to go one place because it's necessary. It's necessary. I'm going to go to the 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go to chapter 11. Listen to this. Was I wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? I, quote unquote, robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so that I could serve you at no cost. Verse 9 says, and when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As I close this out tonight, I may say another thing or two, but let me just tell you, there are so many of you as religious leaders, or for some of you who are not in religious leadership position or role or calling, so many of your religious leaders really need to take a hold to that particular verse right there. Paul says, listen, so many of you quote Paul all the time. A lot of you quote Paul more than you quote Jesus. That's another sermon, another message for another day. But because I hear Paul quoted, so let's take what Paul said then. Listen, I got from other churches so that I can serve you. And I'm not going to be a burden to you. Nor will I ever be. God, my God, my God, my God. Do you understand how powerful a statement that is when a religious leader has enough ethics, has enough courage to say, listen, I'm not going to bleed you dry, congregation XYZ. Not going to do it. Listen, and I'll even go a step further. Bleeding dry, that's a tough thing right there. But just not to be a burden. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 23. I think he said in Matthew 23. He talked about how you do all this other stuff, release the burden of another person. So as religious leaders, when it comes to this financial checkup piece we're talking about, it is not our task. It is not our job to put burdens financially on people. That's not what we're supposed to do. However, it happens. Some of you have acknowledged it. Some of you had conversations with me. We've been doing this long enough that we know it happened. My plea and my cry is to the religious leaders is this. Find a way to bring somebody in, to really do an assessment, to really, really feel that you are burdening them. Because here's the truth of the matter. Lonnie, listen, whatever church you go to, if your pastor gets up on Sunday morning and he says, I'm going to ask y'all a question. I want y'all to raise your hand. Listen, this is how much money I get from the church. This is what we got coming in. Some of y'all may not pay attention to the income and expenses, budget sheets, spending plans, whatever. But if your pastor said, Lonnie, listen, I want you to raise your hand. If you feel that what I get out of the church as a leader burden to you personally, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, quickly. Raise your hand. Just slip it up. Here's what's not going to happen, Lonnie. A lot of people are not going to be honest. They're not going to be honest because they don't be honest about all this other stuff we talk about in PRS. And then you also know that there's a psychological piece to that. If I ask that type of question in that type of environment and I haven't created a safe place for people to be able to say that, where other folks are looking at it like, oh, I thought he was down with Pastor Dunlap. Yeah, he's down with Pastor Dunlap, but Pastor Dunlap asked the question, is Pastor Dunlap burdening you? And you have the right to be able to answer. But those are not the type of questions that come out. See, one of the things that we're going to do when we have the leadership summit next year, we're going to help the leaders. I'm telling you, we're going to help the leaders to be able to some of the hard questions. And there's ways that you can go and ask the hard questions. We've been asking hard questions for 10 plus years now. And we get responses. We get the answers. May not be the answers that we want all the time, but we get the answers. That's why I can quote statistics about this and about that, and about credit, and about bankruptcy, and about wills and inheritance and insurance, because we've done the work to get the answers. So a lot of people are not going to be honest. A lot of people are not going to say, Listen, let me tell you what happened. And we know this happens. Those of us who are religious leaders, we know this happens. It happens. We know it happens. I want everybody to give, every man to give $500 for Men's Day this year. I know I'm going to step on some of your religious antics, some of your religious traditions. Just take it in the spirit that I'm saying it. I want everybody to give every man, every household to give $500. Yeah, and leaders, we want you to give $750 because y'all leave. Y'all got to leave from the front. Okay? Well, let me tell you what continues to happen. Some of y'all may not want to say it, may act like it doesn't happen, but I'm gonna help you today. People will cut back on their giving, Lonnie, their regular giving, to save up that money so that they can get that $500 for Men's Day. So let me tell you what happens. It affects the bottom line. It affects what's going on with the regular life of the church. If I gave $50 a month, if that's what my offering is, $50 a month, and we say, listen, Pastor, I want every man to give $500. You got to know that a lot of times people are going to stop giving that $50 so that they can give the $500. That's not a good way to operate. But here's the thing, again, I'm talking about us as leaders. When we know this as religious leaders, again, this is the financial check of leaders. I'm talking about how we can, as leaders, burden the people. Then if giving is down and you don't recognize as a leader and there's nobody in your circle, nobody on your ministry team, your associate pastor, nobody who's got administrative skills, nobody who got discernment, has discernment, that's able to say, listen, the reason that giving is down is because this undue burden that you've placed on the people of the church. Listen, we know that these Men's Day and Women's Day and Usher anniversary, we know that those things are considered fundraisers. But it's ineffective if people are holding back in this area just so they can give it over here. And then the question becomes, well, what are we going to do with this money when we get it? It's going to the building fund. Stewardship, this course that I'm speaking to you from, this lesson in our stewardship practical principle course, that is one of the number one things that we should be just making sure we got it down packed. Not saying we do everything right, but that's a lack of stewardship right there. And it affects the whole life of the church. So people are not going to give their regular, I'm not going to give my regular $50 offering, which a lot of times, you know, 25 went to the benevolent offering, 25 went to the public offering, right? So people, they need some help. Money's not in there for the benevolent offering. or whatever else it is. No, no, no. We got to do better. So take a note of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Well, I read 7 through 9. And when I was with you, I didn't have enough to live on. When I didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to you. Powerful words from the Apostle Paul. Powerful words for us to live by as religious leaders. In our tithing out of law or love course, we talk about tithing and we talk about the Levites in the advance, not the original initial one, but in the second, third lesson, we talk about tithing and money coming to us as coming to the Levites. I'm speaking from the Bible now, coming to the Levites. Listen, here's the deal. It never was for the leaders to receive 100% of what's coming into the church. I don't think there's a few out there, very few. I'm not even going to give them no credence by calling their name, but there's very few that believe that whatever comes in, they should receive as leaders. Very few, brothers and sisters, very few. But what about this? What about this? What if you're getting 40 or 50%? Where is that? What's going on here? Again, these are some checklist items. Check the item on the checklist, the financial checklist for leaders. The item on the checklist is, how much money do you receive as a leader? Yeah, how much money do you receive as a leader? I don't make any bones about it. As a leader of PRF, executive director, there's a salary on the books for us. Let me see if I can say this. Our board had to kick me out of a doggo board meeting one day. Now, they asked me, it was not disrespectful, but they kicked me out of a board meeting today to talk about my salary. Because I said, listen, there's work to do. The organization cannot sustain giving me the salary that's on the books for me as the executive director. But here's what they said, y'all. You got to take something. Look, we're good. See, my whole thing was, if I took a certain amount of money out of the bank every month, I had the treasurer write me a check every month because of how giving sometimes is a little bit spotty, James. That if I was to do that, it can create a burden to PRF. Because a lot of times God doesn't give a lot of warning and he says, I need you to go do this. Ask my man Abram, right? Genesis 12. So let me do this. So we're going to conclude this series on Blog Talk Radio. We thank everybody who has been with us, who's been listening on Blog Talk Radio. Actually, join us again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we have new series coming up with our show and also with Kimberly Solis' show, Your Health is Your Wealth. All right, y'all. God bless you.